We're ready then for the open mic.
Miss.
Some cheeky person has written down number one, John Montague in absentia. And next we have Annette Skate.
Actually two shortish poems. I've been in Sicily for a while, for about 8 months, and doing a lot of writing there. So one of the poems is set in Sicily. It's in the place where I was staying, my hometown, which is called Milazzo. And the other one is, I went to Pompeii, and do you know in Pompeii those that plaster, they're actually the space where people who were covered by the eruption had died in their final death throes. Those spaces were filled with plaster, and they're on display around Pompeii. And it's really quite disturbing because you don't really know how to treat them, because they're not people, but in another way, they're the most incredibly intimate thing I've seen. So the first poem is called The Garden of the Fugitives. These castings from the space where flesh and bone used to be, the moment fixed in gypsum, head tilts back, eyes roll, mouth loosens, the mold presses replay on the same death throw, sends one to London, another to New York, no grave goods, no funeral. Lost at sea, the remains must fetch up to grant a burial. The ones left behind scout and pray for anything to wash on shore, hope ebbing with each acrid tide. Years back, his body at the pier, still himself, he held the spark for hours. I wasn't there when it left him. Came back to find a shell. In less than a day, his skin a husk to cover what had once been radiant. Here is a zero, an indent in black sand, ablaze with presence. I pour handfuls of lava dust on this never-living kernel, put words on the frozen tongue in place of a coin for Karen. Of course, Sicily is at the forefront as well of the refugee crisis, so it's such a big and enormous issue that I feel inadequate to write about it fully, but the whole, I've written a lot of poems on there, and it's in the background in most of them. In the Milazzo there's this fantastic castle. It's a citadel. It's the biggest castle in Sicily, or biggest citadel in Sicily. This is a poem about that. It's called Fascist Time. Along the Mediterranean, ramparts keep down and keep out. This citadel's outer case is lined with rosemary and fecal India. Saves the castle from knocks, a box within a strong box. Honey stone, basalt from Lipari, a painstaking marquetry. Between one inner fortress and the next, dark cypress hides a secret compartment, a disused garden. The narrow threshold is scored deep with a diamond. Numerals X11 fill the lozenge. 1933, 12 years into fascist time. This is the hardest wall to breach, the dread of such a world beneath my feet.
Thank you.
Thank you, Annette. And next we have Andrew Carroll.
Hi. This is called yaw. So yaw is when something in flight shimmies in midair, like a rocket going up. Yaw. Sitting on the seawall, I watch a muddle of gulls. They waddle and call each other across the puddled beach. A single bird below me shrieks against the breeze. In my ear, the sound expands along the silver wind and through the sand. It's tasseled with the breeze where gusts attempt to cancel it. The blending of an edge where nature passes into nature. This bird woman rises her cries from the rock pools, balls out her wilderness to the sky. Inside me, her scream is freedom, calling in the blowing moment, the opposite of an echo. And when I was searching for that tonight to print it out, I came across somewhat of a nonsense poem that I wrote years ago. Found it at the bottom of a pile of emails, so I'm just going to read this out for the sake of feeling awkward. Under the pressure of the pen, the elephant ran and ran and ran, the end. Tropical storm across the ocean, and then there was none, the end. In desert island doldrums, the man's monkey had a sexual thought. All day and night temptation he fought. We're all married to ourselves first. In the midst of life we are all in debt. Ooh, the pressure. And in the end, we are all artificial intelligence. And it's the pen, not us, that writes our poetry. Thanks.
Thank you, Andrew. Up next, we have our five-word champion tonight, Shane Vaughan.
I'm a champion on read. All right, so bring the mood down a small bit. I used to work in a hospital, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and I was kind of a security officer for a lot of people were using their minds of sorts, or were just there for lots of various strange reasons. I don't know why they hired me to do it. I'm the last person you'd want. And it's always been something that I found very, very hard to comprehend and to write about. But about 2 weeks ago, my better half was in for a small procedure. She's fine, blah, blah, blah. But I was sitting in the canteen trying to just wait. Just waiting is a hard thing to do. And there was a guy sitting on a table to my right, he's about 80 years old, singing old Irish songs, and had clearly been given really bad news, and had no idea what to do, and it just dragged up all of this emotion and feeling. So this is for him. These are all the words I wish I could have told him, but I didn't have the guts to, and that's just being honest. So, to the man sitting in the cafe of a hospital, singing old songs over a coffee and a muffin, don't stop. Don't let them look at you with those eyes that say we can't bear to look at your sadness. Don't let them scare you. Sing, my good man, sing with those wet lids and that quivering lip. Sing and let your head bow down, don't counter them. They see you as a mirror. You, the reflection staring back from the tear-shaped dregs of the cup of the pale specter. The man at the side of a hospital bed, wearing a black gown. The last sigh from the vault of the chest, no, not yet, not here in this cafe of the hospital. They would wait until bed in their own homes, and there's no harm in that either, but there's no harm in this all the same, the wail, the beating of the breast, the ash and the soot ground into your hair. Wear your rags with pride. I am crippled, my love, you have been shorn from me, and I have lost a limb, a weight I've carried all my life. I am lighter than air, and I think I will float off without you. Shout it out, my good man, let it be known. Maybe I'll join you, mumbling a few words, catching your eye. Thank you.
Thank you, Shane. Next we have Kian Murphy.
Thank you. I'm from Cork, but been living in London for 10 years, so it's very nice to be back in amongst you for one night. Three very short poems. First one's called Kata, which is for my father, and in case you don't know, a kata is a series of movements in karate. So, kata. In the kitchen one morning, you show me a kata. My giri, my washigiri, aji uke, and oi tsuki. If it's done right, you say, you finish where you start. The kitchen tiles don't let you down. The bare right foot below the hem of your pajamas is back at square one. Years of locking and unlocking has worn your cartilage. Hip, a raw ball and socket. So you've an odd gait, but you still have the legs on me over shorter distances. And since the acupuncturist, you can touch your toes. The feet still eludes me. In our hometown marathon, those near the finish line thought that we were racing. Don't they know that all I'm doing is keeping up? This one's called Living Alone, to bring the mood down a little. In your absence, things are always where I leave them. I know how much milk is in the fridge, whether I need toilet paper, coffee, or muesli, the only four essentials, really. I never come home to find the last biscuit gone or the ice cream eaten. And I never come home to find fresh flowers in the vase or hot soda bread cooling. This final one is, as you might imagine, about someone else. It's called Touch Rugby. At times like these, when on opposite sides of a thicket of things unsaid, her left shoulder reminds me. Small, round, it fits snug in the palm of my hand. So, when she charges me, and I touch her shoulder to restart the play, its smallness, its roundness, makes the thicket wilt.